Good morning, church family. Good morning to those tuning in online. My name is Cynthia, and I have the privilege of serving as the life group coordinator, outreach coordinator, and care team coordinator at Church on the Rock. I'm so honored to have this privilege to be able to stand before you today. Sound like I'm ringing in my ear a little bit. First, I want to say I give thanks to my husband, is who's up in the balcony and serving today. I love you and I honor you and you everything. I thank God for my daughter that's here today and my family that could not be here to tuning in online. I thank God for my church family. I want to give it up for Pastor Josh and his wife. Pastor Josh and his wife, their heart for this house, their heart for people. What you see on this stage is what he really is. Like, his heart for people is really so, that's what I'm attracted to, his heart. And Pastor Audrey and his wife, which are up in the balcony as well. My brother, my friend, my family. I thank God for Pastor Tom Outley here too today. It's an honor to have you here today. I just want to get all these things out of the way. I feel so nervous. I'm always so nervous to be up here in front of y'all. But I know the audience is light today because it's Memorial Day weekend and it's graduation season. I had my first nephew graduated this weekend from Trinity Christian Academy. I've been busy all weekend. If you can tell and if you know me, my voice is like the enemy tried to take my voice. I'm going to blame it on him. He tried to take my voice, but I'm going to push through this. But any graduates in the house, do we have any graduates in the house? Whether you graduated from high school, college, pre-K to kindergarten, sixth grade to seventh grade, eighth grade to ninth grade, you know they make these things so big now that you got to have a graduation. But any graduates in the house, are you willing to stand for us to acknowledge you? Jay? Okay. Hey, stay standing. We want to acknowledge y'all. And I know my own daughter graduated from the sixth to the seventh. You know, they make a graduation for everything. Gracie, you graduated from high school? Congratulations. I just want to say we thank God for you all, and we're praying over you and your next steps. I think this message is going to be special for both of y'all and everybody else too, but I think this is such an important message for today, because as you go forward in your life and as you go forward in school and whatever you got planned for the future, you will need the power of God to help guide every decision that either one of y'all have to make. So I pray quickly, a quick blessing over Gracie and Jay, God, that you strengthen them, that you guide them, that you lead every decision that they make. Gracie is going to be an adult now, do adult things, God, and have adult decisions to make. God, I ask you to lead and guide her. Let your power be in every decision she make. Let her follow your leading, not her own leading. Let her follow the love that she have for whatever she's going to do, God. Let her love it. Let her like it, God, and give her strength to do it and give her grace. Yes, her name is Gracie. God bless Jade. Strengthen her, lead and guide her. Give her courage and boldness to know that she has the power to do whatever you have for her to do. In the name of Jesus, give it up for our graduates. Thank you. It's so important that we cover our kids in prayer and our soon-to-be adults in prayer when they're leading and going to the next step. It's so important. This morning, it's Pentecost Sunday, as Austin alluded to. And Pentecost Sunday is, we celebrate and we come and pack out the house for Easter because he died and he rose again. But Pentecost Sunday to me is one of the next, I mean, it's really one of the biggest things ever, because he was there with the 12 and he followed them and they followed him and he did everything he did with them and he rose again and fulfilled the scripture. But Pentecost Sunday, he came back that he could be with each one of us individually. Like, he's literally walking with you throughout your day-to-day. The mess-ups that you make, the darkness that you're in, the hiccups that you travel, the way you think nobody is there, he's there right with you, walking through you through that daily. And if it wouldn't have been for this day, he wouldn't have did that. He would have just been with them 12, and they would have told their story, as Austin told us in our huddle this morning. They would have said about Lazarus and all of these things, and we would have been like, oh, that sounds nice. We wouldn't have had an experience of our own. But now we get to have him living, breathing, walking with us. He is a person. He is not this thing. He is not it. He is the person, the Holy Spirit, or the Holy Ghost, if you want to go old school. That's what I come from, the Holy Ghost living within me. So we're going to get into that. It's Pentecost Sunday, and the name of my message this morning is Who's Got the Power? So when I say who's got the power, you say, I've got the power. Who's got the power? Amen. And we hope this is true. For believers, this is true. But by the end of this service, if you're not a believer, if you're skeptical, if you're on the fence, if you just do not know, I hope that you want this power. Miss Marcy, I apologize right now because I feel like I was going too fast and I need to take it slow. I'm so sorry, but I love you. You know I love you. Today, in the world that we live in today, it's so much going on. So much. Everything that I say today is from God, so get mad with him. That's all I'm going to say about that. And he gave it to me, so just get mad with him, not me. No pressure on me. Today, we have shootings in schools. We got shootings in libraries. We got shootings in church. We got shootings in the grocery store. We have shootings in people places of employment. We have people confused about their identity, whether sexual, female or male, or their identity in Christ. We have people confused. We have homosexuality. We have parents against kids, kids against parents. We have so much hate in this world. We have bullying in school. We got bullying, adults bullying each other, churches bullying each other. We have marriages falling apart. We have marriages staying together but miserable. We have people dealing with depression, anxiety, drug use, alcohol abuse, pornography. The list goes so on and on and on. People struggling in relationships with friendships. We have people battling with so much in the church. And this is also going on outside the church. Who know that we do need a power? We need something besides ourselves, something bigger than us. And a lot of these things are going on because we're working with ourselves. We're not dependent on the Holy Spirit leading, on the Holy Spirit guiding. That's like an old phrase, like, oh, I'll check with him later. But we're not walking in his power. So a lot of these things that's going on is because we're walking in our own strength. Today we'll talk about Pentecost because today is Pentecost Sunday. The word Pentecost simply comes from the Greek word pronounced Pentecosta. It should a couple, yeah, on the screen behind me, which simply means 50th. Now, just to give you a little backstory on that, it refers to a Jewish feast. It was a lot of feasts going on back in the day, and one of them was called Shabbat, but it was a whole bunch of festivals that was going on, and everybody always gathered together in Jerusalem and came together from different tongues, languages, cultures. Everybody came together. Shabbat is a harvest festival and marks the time that Israel came out of Egypt. It was a 10-day journey, but another 40 days they sat at the foot of Mount Sinai where Moses went at and talked to Jesus to get the law. The New Testament, the Holy Spirit was poured out on the early believers on the day of Pentecost that came 50 days after Jesus was crucified, our Passover lamb. Yeah. So just to give you a little backstory of what Pentecost came from, it was when Moses had his experience with Jesus, with God at the Mount, and then it happened again when 50 days after Jesus was crucified. Pentecost is to remind every Christian that we have power. Not like Iron Man, not like the Hulk, but an even greater power, a real power. We have been given the Holy Spirit. Some Christians today sometimes look like we have authority, we look and dress the part, but we're walking with no power. I can't, and hopefully today you can't, stand for the appearance of kingdom authority, instead have the power of kingdom authority because we have the opportunity to walk in the Holy Spirit. That's my prayer today, that you leave out of here knowing it's not just you. Living this Christian life is not easy. It's hard. It can get hard. You have great times, and we're on the Lord's side, and we've accepted him, and we're going to heaven, but this pathway is hard. And it's even harder when you try to walk it in your own strength, in your own knowledge, in your own smarts, in your own money, and your own everything in your own, and you're not leaning and dependent on him. We sing songs about leaning and dependent on him. We talk about leaning and dependent on him, but do we truly walk that out? Acts 2 transformed the Jewish festival to a Christian one. We're going to be reading Acts 2, if you did not know. We're going to be reading Acts 2, and it's a lot of scripture, but I want you to bear with me because it takes you somewhere, and it's a journey, and you really need to hear this because it's the word of God, and this is what get us through. I could stand up here. You could join life groups because today is the launch of summer life groups. I just want to give that a shout out. Everybody know I represent life groups, so I love that, but you can do all of these things, but without the word, we will perish. We would not make it without his word. So sometimes I know you do the daily devotional, the one little scripture a day, you check that off your box. So I'm giving you way more today. Acts 2, and this one verse, I'm doing it from the King James Version because I love the way it reads. It says, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Remember that, one accord in one place. Verse 2. Suddenly, there was a sound from heaven, like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then, what looked like flames of tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them the ability. At that time, there were devout Jews from every nation living in Jerusalem. When they heard the loud noise, everyone came running, and they were bewildered to hear their own languages being spoken by the believers. They were completely amazed. How can this be? They exclaimed. These people are from Galilee, and yet we hear them speaking in our own native language. I'm a disclaimer. It's a lot of words that I'm finna say that might not make no sense to you, and I hope I say them right. Okay, verse 9. Here we have Parthians, Medes, Elamites, people from Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and the province of Asia. 10. Egypt, and the areas of Libya around Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, and we all hear these people speaking in our own languages about the wonderful things God has done. They stood there amazed and perplexed. What can this mean? They asked each other. Verse 13. But others in the crowd ridiculed them, saying, they're just drunk. That's all. Verse 14, then Peter stepped forward with the 11 other apostles and shouted to the crowd, listen carefully, all of you, fellow Jews and residents of Jerusalem, make no mistake about this. These people are not drunk, as some of you are assuming. 9 o'clock in the morning is much too early for that. That's to let you know, do not drink before 9 a.m. Just so you know. Verse 16, no, what you see was predicted long ago by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit upon all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. In those days, I will pour out my spirit, even on my servants, men and women alike, and they will prophesy. Acts 2 and 37 through 38, Peter's words pierced their hearts, and they said to him and to the other apostles, brothers, what should we do? Verse 38, Peter replied, each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Verse 41, those who believed what Peter said were baptized and added to the church that day, 3,000 in all. Oh my God. 3,000. I just can't even imagine coming to church. We complain by like people don't mark on the card that one person got saved today. But everything that I just read, that means that all of y'all are supposed to be saved now because y'all heard those words. 3,000 people was added to the church that day. I want to go back to verse 38 because I think this is a lot of the problem with us not experiencing the power of the Holy Spirit and us not walking in it. This is just from me and what I think. Verse 38 says, Peter replied, each of you must. They asked, how can we get this? What should we do? What do you do to get the Holy Spirit, and how do you walk in it? Peter said, you must repent of your sins. I think we're real good about taking you through the sinner's prayer and you repenting of your sins. And listen, you make sins daily. So that one sinful prayer that you, that prayer that you repent, you need to do that probably daily, because everybody makes, that's what the word of God say, not what I'm saying. I don't know how you sinning, but you must, once you sin, you have to repent. It's a requirement from his word. And turn to God and be baptized in the name of Jesus. I truly believe we're good at having baptisms. Dunking you at one time and you come back up and hopefully you're changed. And, you know, you dry off and we send you on and, oh, I'm new. Yeah. We back up, though. I think it's a turn to God. I think we lacking right there. I kind of think this is just my observation. And where I don't see the Spirit moving like he's supposed to move, how he moved. I think we repent, we get baptized, but sometimes we don't turn to God. We completely forget that. We sign up to get baptized. We say the sinner's prayer and high five a few people. And we get baptized, but we forget to turn to God. I think that's where we're lacking. And it might not be in your life, but I'm sure some things you can look at in your life and see, I didn't turn to him. I turned to what a book said. I turned to what my friend said. I turned to what my husband and my wife said. I turned to what Google said. I use Google for everything. Like, it helped me with this message. It's good sometimes. I think we lack in turning to God, though, on everything, y'all. When you become a Christian, and I know non-believers probably, you know, I really don't get it, but hopefully you will get this. But for Christians right now, we must turn to God in everything. And we will see the fruits of what God says when we turn to him. Because we're struggling in areas because we have not turned to him. We're struggling in life because we have not turned to him. We're struggling in our marriages because we have not turned to him. We're struggling with our kids and with our parents. Kids, you're struggling with your parents because you have not turned to him. It's a problem when we want to see Bible results, but we don't do Bible things. It's a problem when we want all the fruits and all the blessings, and the kids even see it. Eileen pointed it out. Her daughter was so easy to say, God's going to bless us, because she believes. Sometimes we read this word, we know, some of y'all I could call out, you'd be like, oh, that's Psalms 10 and 12. I don't know where everything at. But I know what a lot of stuff say, but we don't turn to it to see what it say. We'll rather turn to everybody else but the Lord. And he wants us to turn back to him. I really felt, I've been praying and fasting and had friends and other people praying and fasting about this service. But today when I walked in this house, before all of y'all came, I really felt a brokenness in my spirit. And I kept crying and I was telling everybody around me, like, I'm fine. I feel good, but it was a heaviness on me that I felt brokenness in this house. Like, I don't know if it's one person, I don't know if it's majority of y'all, but somebody in here is broken. And it's sad that we come here day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, and we leave the same way we came. We leave burdened. We leave heavy. We leave carrying the load. And God, meanwhile, standing there like, I'm right here. I got you. Give it to me. Leave it with me. None of this in my notes, but bear with me. But God is wanting you to give it to him. He wants us to literally give it to him. Somebody asked me today when I was getting ready to come up here, like, how you feel? I'm like, I've done all that I can humanly possible. The pressure is on God. And we know he do what he says he's going to do. So it's all on him. But in your own personal life, if you could think about things that you're dealing with right now in your own life, or maybe even your life is going great, and that's amazing, but you know a loved one or you know a friend that's going through, that you could turn to God for them, that they may find breakthrough. But that person that I'm going back to, because God is like, sit, do not leave this. Somebody is broken in here. Like, they feel like they've tried all that they can personally. They've tried all that they can in their own power. They've tried all that they can with all that they know how to do. But God say, me, I'm right here. Me, I'm right here. He's right there. When you leave this building, he's going to be right there with you. He says, reach out to me. Yeah. I knew this message was going to be quiet this morning, so it's fine. I'm normally like a fun kind of, like, I try to be like a comedy preacher. I don't think I try. It just happens because my husband is so comedical. Like, it makes me like that. I'm going to go to Joel, the second chapter. And it's talking about the Lord promised his spirit in Joel. How in that scripture, I'm not going to actually go there, but the Lord promised his spirit in Joel. And he talked about what was going to happen. Everyone has their own experience with the Holy Spirit. God doesn't want us to try to establish a formula. And I think that's the problem with a lot of people, because sometimes us as humans, we want to reduce things down to a formula. Three keys to faith, five steps to spiritual maturity. And, you know, we buy these books and we like, well, I did all five steps. But, you know, sometimes we left God on the sideline, and we did all five steps, but we like, God, what do you say? God, what have you for me to do? Like, most of the time, we don't have to get these books. They help now. Don't hear what I'm not saying. They help, but we can never not forget God. We can never forget that. The Spirit has freedom to work however he wills. And I know me growing up in Pentecostal background, it was like the Spirit there. That's the Spirit. You know, you get older and you learn and you figure out that's just somebody dancing and they just love to dance. You know, God might use that for them sometimes, but most of the time it's just they want to, you know, David dance. He danced out of his clothes. Like, there's no problem with that. But the Spirit is that voice inside you. Sometimes I know people always talk about the still small voice, soft voice, but sometimes my spirit, he yells at me. Be like, if you don't say this, if you don't do this. So I don't know, you know, some people got that sweet, small spirit, you know, that talks to them, you know, just, you know, follow the Lord. But my spirit be like, if you don't mention this, if you don't say this, Cynthia, so it's whatever yours is, but that spirit is the one that keeps you away from doing sinful things. That spirit is the one that leads and guides you down that narrow path. It's a narrow path following God. I don't know, this world is making it so wide, but this path that we follow Christ is narrow. If you ever been on a narrow path, it's kind of hard for your car to get there. The bushes kind of like coming in, sometimes hitting your windshield. You cannot like just have a big diesel truck going down a narrow path. It's a narrow path to Christ. So all these things that we're including in our Christianity, I'm scared for us sometimes. And I feel like we're turning away from God. We're not following that narrow path. And our light has to shine. In order to have light, when you go home, you got to have power. If you don't have power, you don't have no light. I don't know if you ever went to your house and didn't pay FPL and they sent notices and you flipped on the switch and it came on, but it don't work like that in my house. You got to pay that bill. You got to have that power and you get light. We need the power. We cannot live without the power. And I believe we all have it living inside of us. Some of us forget. Some of us don't tap into it. Some of us need it and use it when we're at that bad moment, when the doctor done said, cancer, nothing we could do. Your child done died, your marriage done fell apart, you went years knowing that it was falling apart, but then now when he say, I'm submitting the divorce papers, oh, Jesus, help me. It was years ago, you knew it was problems. Like, we don't turn to God. We must turn to God because God can turn it around. God can turn it around even when it feel like it ain't working, even when it feel like the love done gone, even when it feel like she on her way to jail or out to the streets, your kids, even when it feel like you done did all that you could do, God can turn it around. And we must believe in the power. If we believe that he died and rose again on the third day, we got to believe in the power. John 20 and 29. This is Jesus talking to Thomas, and I love this verse. Jesus said, "So you believe because you've seen with your own eyes. Even better blessings are in store for those who believe without seeing." And for me, growing up in the church that I grew up in, Pentecostal, and some of y'all probably come from Catholic, Baptist, Presbyterian. It's so many because we're non-denominational. Some people have never experienced what others have. I believe Jesus said this scripture and put this scripture in the Bible so that because some have and will believe because of certain experiences and feelings. You know how people be like, "Oh, I feel like I got a tingle." And some will believe without a certain experience, just their faith. Some people just gonna believe because of their faith. Some people gonna come to Jesus Christ just because they believe. They didn't have that tingle. They didn't fall out foaming at the mouth. This is the old school church, so if you don't know what I'm talking about, you just don't know. They didn't come to the altar and tarry and slob and, you know, was on their knees 100 hours. Some people just gonna believe. So Jesus put that scripture in there. Some people just gonna come to me by believing. Remember, experience is never the criteria for truth. We're going to have experiences, but that don't mean that it's truth. We cannot get away from the word of God. We cannot. I mean, if you're a Christian, it's no way to live your life without the word of God. You have to read it. You have to read it. It's nothing around it. You have to read it. This is the demand from Jesus Christ, not Cynthia Evans. You have to read it, and if you don't know how to read it, find a friend. Join a life group. Tell them that's what you want to do. Fill out our green connection card and put on the bottom of it, "I need more word. I need to learn the scriptures." Contact us on our website at cotr.live and let us know you need to go deeper, that you want more. I mean, we're here to do life together. We're better together. It's everywhere you look. That's what it say. In order to be better together, we got to get in the word together, not just on Sunday. My three thoughts that I'm taking away from this scripture on Acts 2, I could stay there all day, y'all, because I love Jesus. And I want to be more and more like him. Only way to do that is to read this word, let it cut me up. Let it fix me and transform me. It's not just funs and games, and he got great things in here to love about him, but he's also a father, and he chastises. A good father would chastise you. A good father won't be like you come in and slap your daddy, and he'd be like, "Hey, you want to go to Burger King today?" A good father probably going to slap you back and be like, "Hey, you on punishment." This thing is so simple. It's not this big, overdrawn, like, "Oh, the power of God to do this." Like, you need the power just to live your basic life. I love how God works, because anytime I have a chance and an opportunity to get up here and speak, God always put me through something to testify about so I can show you his power. I love him like that. But my daughter, Jade, she's a dancer, and she's been dancing for like 7 or 8 years. And every time we go to dance competition, she like has anxiety attacks, and like I have to, like, me and my husband have to build her up when she don't score as high as she want to score, and when she don't do as good as she want to do, she like, "Oh my God," like I said, "Oh my God." And like, if you know anything about girls, or you're a girl dad, or you got girls, like, they are extra. And me and my husband literally have to have a conference with her and like bring it down. And we have to build her up. So one day she got in the car with me and we were talking, and I was like, "I'm talking about the Holy Spirit and the power. I can snip this in the bud." So I told her simply, are you a Christian? And she was like, yes. And I was like, why you say that? She was like, because I believe Jesus died, you know, all this stuff. So I was like, okay, good. You know you have a power living inside of you? Like the power that rose Jesus Christ from the dead, that rose Lazarus from the grave, the power that changed the whole entire world, living inside your little 12-year-old body. That power supersedes everything. So I told her, when you in dance and you go to dance practice, you rehearse, you do all that you can in our human strength, and you rememberize all that you can in your human strength, the rest is on God. You've done all you can. You pray to God, you ask God to help you, you ask God to carry you through, you ask God to let you score good and big and all this stuff that you want. Whatever happens after that is God's plan. I say it's that simple. It's God's plan. We got to do our part. Because in the scripture, what I love about, I'm going to show you in our three thoughts. In the scripture, you got to take action. You can't just, you know, I hear people say all the time, I'm praying about it. What are you doing in the meantime? It's great to pray, but what are we doing in the meantime? God still wants us to move. He still wants us to take action. He still wants us to keep going. The devil is not knocking us out. So I told her that the next week, I think we had a competition. She scolded, she placed, she always does, but it's never to her thoughts and what she thinks she's supposed to have. But it wasn't as much as she thought, but she looked at me and she was just like, Mom, it was God's plan. And I was like, oh my God, you got it. Like, I got to keep putting that in her so she can remember that, so she won't be crying about everything. But I was so like excited, like, oh my God, she got it. It's God's plan. After you've done your part and you've done what the word of God told you to do, this is what's so important. After you've turned to God, after you repented, turned to God and got baptized, but you stay turned to God. You don't just turn to God and then like walk away, get baptized. It's a constant turning to him. It's a constant turning to him. It's a constant, because we living in a crazy world. We constantly got to turn to him. So my three thoughts to get back on point. First, what I got out of it is the being on one accord. It's so important. We're not going to agree on everything in this house, but we can be on one accord about Jesus Christ died and rose on the third day, and that he's all powerful and the Holy Spirit lives in us, and that you want more power and you need his power. You can't live without his power. Acts 2:1 says, When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were with one accord in one place. We're in one place right now. And I pray to God we're on one accord about needing his power. Anybody in here need his power? If I can see by the show of hands, if anybody need his power? Okay, so this altar finna be packed. I just see all y'all hands. I know you like, oh shoot, I shouldn't have put my hand up. The balcony was raising their hand. Like, we need his power. In the day we live in and what the church is facing today, we need his power. Number two, we have to take action. When they were saying that everybody was drunk, Peter had to step out and say, no, it's not 9:00. We're not drunk. Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and proclaimed, fellow Jews and all you residents of Jerusalem, let it be known to you and pay attention to my words. It says Peter stood up. He took an action. He didn't just sit down and was like, well, they might be right. He stood up to let them know, I'm taking charge. I'm walking in what God told me to do. And on that day of Pentecost, what was so amazing, they were speaking in Spanish and just, you know, whatever the day, whatever languages are all around you and you don't know. I don't know Spanish. I know Mi Amo Cynthia. And I know something else that stuck with me from back 30, some many years ago. I don't even remember. I don't want to tell my age. But I don't remember much. But just imagine me up here speaking and Juan, you could hear me in Spanish though. Like, just imagine that. We know that got to be God, because I could barely speak English. That got to be his power. That's why they were amazed. That's why they was like, what is this you speak about? And when they were speaking in other Englishes, other languages, guess what? They were speaking the word of God. That's why 3,000 got saved. They weren't just telling testimonies and talking about, oh, you know, how y'all doing? I can speak your language. No, they were speaking and quoting scriptures because the word of God got power. The word of God got power. When we speak it over our lives, when we speak it over our kids, when we speak it over our marriages, when we speak it over ourselves, when we speak it over our jobs, when we speak it over our churches, when we speak it over our world, when we speak it over our community, it's power in his name. It's power in the word of God. Number three, speak the word of God. Of course, you know that got to be it. And because, you know, Pastor Josh do this thing, and I think he up in the balcony, if I see the shape of his head, I think that's him. Yay! I was looking at him, and I was like, that looked like his head shape, but because you can't really see faces, but I know him so much, I know his head shape. I love you. I love you. I put, because Pastor Josh loved to do, you know, letters, but it ain't going to be up here, but I said, speak the word of God, but in my little notes, I put accessible. Because it's an A. So AAA. Not Alcoholics Anonymous, but AAA. It's accessible. The word of God is no excuse that you don't have it. Anybody in here don't have a cell phone? Oh, no hand went up. That's amazing. You got the word of God. If you don't have it on your phone, you can download it. It's accessible to us. We got to walk in it. And I know this is a normal time that a lot of our servers and a lot of our people tend to walk out and go get in their places and stuff. But I really feel God saying the altar needs to be open for everybody. Today, I challenge you, whether you're on production, whether you're behind a camera, set it, leave it, I be still, or they'll just hear my voice. I challenge you because I believe so many of us need power because we're struggling in so many areas and we're not walking in the power of God. We're not walking in his power. I believe we need to touch and agree and pray on this thing that his power shows up in our lives, that we tap into his power, that we want his power, that we remember that we have his power. Speaking the word, Matthew 4:4 says, but he answered, it is written, Man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out the mouth of God. We can only live if we read his word. I know so many Christians that's like, how you doing?
Well, I got so much going on. And it's just so,
we do have times like that, but that's a lack of word. Because his word gives life. His word gives life. His word gives oxygen. It helps me to breathe. Every day you see me, and when you see me up here, everything is not great. But because of his word, and because of his blood, and because of his power, I can stand before you and smile because he gives me life. The same life he gives me, he gives you. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete and equipped for every good work. His word completes us. His words help us. His word straightens our path so it don't be so crooked. That it be straight and we can walk it because our path is lit in by our light. His light lights the path for us. Without the light, without power, we have no light. I just ask everybody in here to close your eyes for me. Everybody, just close your eyes. I've been praying and I was thinking like, God, how do you want me to end this service or kind of bring this service to a closing? God never gave me a direct thing, but he gave me this. How we sitting in these chairs and you sitting in your chairs probably just loosely. That's how God carries you. How you got faith in that chair sitting underneath you, God's hand is right there with you.
carrying you, holding you. You will not fall long as you lean and depend on him. He has you. And maybe you're that one that's like, I don't even know him. I don't know nothing about him. I don't even like him. I don't like the things that the people that say they represent him do. I'm so clueless, or I'm confused. Wherever you may stand, I just feel God is saying, try me. If you're lost and you don't know, try me. What do you have to lose? Because you're struggling. You're dealing with issues. And you can have the power of the Holy Spirit right there with you, helping lead and guide your every direction. For those that may be lost and want to know God and have a relationship with God, we have this prayer that we carry you through to make you have, let you be able to build a relationship with him. And I pray if that's you in this house today and you feel like, I want to give this thing a try. I want to know more about him. I hope that you would just say this prayer with me. And church, you know how we do it. We say it all together to give that person the courage and the boldness to say it out loud. But for you, it's something different happening in the inside. It's transforming. So church, let's say it together. Dear Lord, forgive me of my sins. Wash me. Cleanse me. Make me new. All that I am is yours. I surrender my will for your will, for my life. God, I accept you as my personal Savior. Amen. Give those that said that prayer for the first time a hand. Church, as I said before when I first started, I really feel that there's somebody in here that really needs God, that really is struggling and has been got some brokenness going on. If that's you, I ask you to step forward. Like if you're behind a camera and you're dealing with things, if you're on production and you're dealing with things, nothing will fall apart if you want to come up and get prayer. Join in with our prayer partners. Receive prayer. I'm going to come down and be a prayer partner as well. Everybody that raised their hand saying they needed power, they want power, they have to have power, I ask you to come down with us so that power can be united as one accord. It's something about us being in one place on one accord that the power of God can move and we can feel his presence. Because a lot of times we're trying to do this Christian life alone and it's never going to work. We're trying to do this Christian journey with just a certain amount of people. And we need our brothers and sisters from other mothers and other cultures, other divisions of the world. We need each other. And I ask you to come out, take a bold step like Peter did, and come out and receive prayer. You can come right now. It's no restriction. I'm just steady talking. But you can come out right now and just get prayer. Just ask God to help you, give you the boldness to step out. Because you raised your hand. Everybody in this church raised their hand. And so, like, it should be packed. But I'm asking you to just come out and receive prayer. If you want prayer, prayer is going to continue to be coming on, going on. I thank you for your time, and we love you.
Sometimes we try everything in the world, except for this. You know, maybe we've tried the AA and the NA. We've tried to work a program. And maybe we've, you know, put barriers on some of the websites we look at. And maybe, you know, I can diet for a little bit. And I work on my own will and my own strength, and it just never seems to last. Never seems to last. And I think it's because we're not operating out of the power that Cynthia was talking about, the power of God. Just me, myself, all I know is that I tried it all. I tried it all. I tried to get sober, I tried to get clean, and through jail and prison and all the stuff that I ended up going through, the one power that set me free was Jesus Christ. And he's kept me free. And he's going to do that for you. So I would encourage you, come down, receive prayer, receive power, The Holy Spirit is in this house today. And it may not be you that has the struggle. It may be somebody you know that has the struggle. It may be that daughter, that son that you prayed for years and years and years and years, and you just think that there's no way they're ever going to see the light. They're never going to break free. What I'm telling you today is come intercede. Come and intercede for them. Come down here. Worship our Father and our King together. Because the truth is that we can do nothing apart from Him, but with Him, we can do all things. We can do all things through Christ Jesus, who strengthens us. And He fills us, and He loves us, and He's here to do what we cannot do for ourselves. And so, if you find yourself there, and you're in the struggle, listen, we live in a sin-filled, fallen, and broken world. I don't think we need to talk about the problem. I think we need to look at the solution. And the solution is and always has been Jesus. And I'm going to lead us into a little bit of a prayer as we start going out and we're receiving what we are receiving down here. We're laying stuff down at the feet of Jesus at the cross as He has told us that He wants us to do. But we also have a mission this week. We got stuff that we got to do. We are going to go share the light of Jesus with the world. We are His ambassadors, sons and daughters of the Most High King. And we do have a mission and we have a purpose. God has designed us to do something. And so while we may be broken, while we may not have it all together, and yeah, we still got the sin issue in our life, that does not mean that God cannot and will not use you exactly where you are right now. As a matter of fact, He's going to use the broken to reach the broken. And so in our brokenness, hopefully we find some humility. We find that humbleness as we come before our King and we lay it all down at His feet. And it's a stretch, I know, it's a stretch. It's a stretch to come down here and do it. Totally get it, but it may be the one thing that the enemy doesn't want you to come and receive, because he knows you've done everything else in your own power and nothing's worked out. He wants to keep you from this moment right here, right now, and this is your moment. Come and receive it. So Father, we worship you. Jesus, we adore you. There is no one like you, Father. There are people all over this world that say that they believe in a God, but they don't know the one true God, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. El Shaddai, He is Elohim. He is the Ancient of Days. And He was there at the beginning. He spoke everything into existence. He formed us and created us out of the dust of the earth. And He loves us. He loves us so much. How much does He love us? He sent His one and only Son to come and die for us. And He put the punishment for all of our sin on His Son. And His Son said, yes, not my will, Father, but yours be done. Yes, yes, I will lay my life down for them. Yes, I will go through these things for them because I love them, because I created them with my own hands, and I want them to be with me where I am. And where He is seated at the right hand of the Father, God Almighty, Jesus Christ, at the right hand of the Father. And He says that He's interceding for you, for me. He's interceding for us. He's not just sitting there and relaxing and kicking back. He is breaking chains. He's doing it. He's raising the dead to life, just like Lazarus. He is making old things new. That's what He's doing. And He is not some faraway God. He is not in this ivory tower. He's at the right hand of the Father. And He said, my Spirit will be with you. And I will guide you into all truth. And He only says what I communicate to Him. So we pray in this moment, Holy Spirit, that you communicate to us in a way that only you can, Father. Touch our hearts and our lives, Father. Give us an experience that we can take back this week and we say, hey, you know what? I don't know. I don't have it all figured out. But I went to church on Sunday and all of a sudden, I don't feel like drinking no more. And I don't feel like using that drug anymore. And I don't want to look at that website anymore. Whatever it is, whatever it is. We just pray that you have an experience and an encounter with Jesus here today. And then we don't leave it here. We don't leave it here. Because Jesus said, go out and preach the gospel to all nations. Tell them. Tell them what I'm doing. Tell them what I'm doing in your life. Tell them what I've done. Tell them who I am. You are enough because you're my son and you're my daughter. And I will be with you. Apart from me, you can do nothing. But I sent my Spirit with you. So Jesus, in this moment, in this time, we thank you for who you are, Father, who you are, not what you do, not what you've done, Father. We worship who you are, and that is Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, Father. You are the one true God,
the one true God, and we exalt you, Father. We lift your name on high, Father. We will put you at your rightful place, which is first above all things, Father. So help us, Father. Give us eyes to see, ears to hear, Father. Give us soft hearts today as we go out this week and we try to accomplish what is your good and your perfect will, Father. And we will walk in confidence because we know that your Holy Spirit is guiding us and is leading us. So, Father, we thank you for this day. Father, we thank you for your power that lies in the Holy Spirit, Father. And we will walk in your will and your ways this week. We worship you, Father, and we love you. And everybody said, amen. Amen. You guys are more than welcome to stay and hang out. You don't have to go anywhere. We'll keep a little music going, but if you want to go out, hey, go have your week. Go get them this week, all right? We love you, church.